Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Thanks. Welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. You're listening to Bishop Hutchison. I'm so blessed and privileged to have this opportunity to come and speak life to you again today. Thanks to God. We bless God as we continue with our series of studies dealing with practical Christianity, where we've been coming from the book of James over the last several weeks. And we're going to be continuing again today with another lesson in this series entitled Taming the Tongue. Be careful what you say. So I pray that you'll go ahead and get your Bible, paper, and pencils, that you'll be prepared to take notes and study along with us. We want you to do this so that you can search the scriptures right along with us to see whether what we say are so or not. And while you're gathering your study materials, let me get a few announcements out of the way. Praise the Lord. We're having our GBCS classes in the local community here in Forest Park. They're scheduled to start next month on September 19th. The registration deadline is August 24th, so you still have time to register for classroom courses here in Forest Park. And tomorrow, on Monday, we'll be having a master's degree Skype class at 10 a.m. You can contact us for that registration information. Also, I want to thank God and praise God for all of those who are part of our Settled Church Fellowship here in Forest Park, Georgia. We meet every Saturday at 1 p.m. for teaching, prayer, breaking of bread, and fellowship, and you're invited to come and join us and be a part of that with us. Also, if you're in the Atlanta metropolitan area, we'll be gathering for our monthly corporate worship next week at 9 a.m. So we pray that you'll be able to connect with us, and we're so thankful for all of our partners and students and alumni around the world. Special grief, grace, and blessing be upon each and every one of your lives. Let me give you our contact information. Our phone number is 678-278-9622. Again, our phone number is 678-278-9622. Or you can visit our main website, which is Amazing Grace Ministries, www.agministries.net. Praise the Lord. Again, saints, welcome to the Kingdom Broadcasting Network. You're listening to our Sunday Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. Today we're going over another lesson in our series of studies dealing with practical Christianity. And today's subject or lesson topic is taming your tongue. Be careful what you say. So if you're going to be taking notes with us, I'm going to give you our key verse as well as our central truth. And then following a word of prayer, we'll get into some of the study text and outline for this week's lesson. Our central truth for this week's lesson is that the tongue has power to edify or destroy. The word edify means to build up, and of course to destroy means to tear down. So the tongue has power to build people up or to tear people down. The key verse that we're looking at is coming from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Let me read both the King James Version as well as the New International Version. Proverbs 12 and 18 read, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." The New International Version reads like this: "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Let us get a word of prayer in. Father, we bless you. We exalt you today. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the honor, all the glory, and the praise. So we say hallelujah to your name. I thank you and I praise you for the victory that has already been won in our lives through the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you for the victory over sickness that's been won. I thank you for the victory of health that has been won, for salvation, for prosperity has already been won. And Father, we thank you today and we praise you for the precious gift of your Son Jesus and that power of the Holy Spirit Lord, today let the Holy Spirit come upon us afresh today to help us know how to control our thoughts and control our words, and that our words may build up, tear down. So we ask you for your grace upon us today as we study your word. In Jesus' master's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And again, saints, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Again, saints, welcome to our broadcast today, where we're continuing with a series of studies on practical Christianity. If you've been following along with us over the last two or three weeks, you've been seeing some of the application for our lives from the book of James. And I pray today that you will see additional words of application for your life. Now, if you're going to be taking notes with us, here are the 3 points of outline that I want to discuss with you today. The first point of outline is control your speech. Control your speech. In that section, we're going to talk about James' warning to teachers and how we are to control our tongue. The second point of outline that I'd like to discuss with you is destructive nature of the tongue. In that second section, we're going to talk about the tongue's corrupting power and how it is a persistent force. And our third and final point of outline is speak and live wisely. We're going to talk about the wisdom of this world as well as wisdom from above. Now, if you looked at our social media posts on Facebook, we talked about 6 simple steps to taming the tongue. Of course, there's nothing simple about taming the tongue, but there are at least 6 points that you can kind of get an overview of today to be able to understand things that you can take to help you manage. Besides, the first step is to rely on the Holy Spirit, of course. But here's number one. Let me give you these 6 steps real quick, and I'll give you some of our lesson objectives before we get into the introduction. One of the things you want to do is control your speech, and I'm going to talk more about these a little bit later. You want to recognize the destructive nature of the tongue, number two. Number three, you want to speak and live wisely. Number four, you want to seek wisdom from God or from heaven. And step five, you want to glorify God with your words. And six, be humble. So that's an overview of some of the 6 simple tips to tame your tongue, and we're going to talk a little bit more about these as we go through this week's lesson. In addition, there are some things that we must do, or I pray that you'll be able to do as you listen to today's lesson, as you meditate upon it following the broadcast. I want you to be able to acknowledge your need to practice the discipline of controlling your speech. I also want you to recognize the destructive potential of the tongue and to apply godly wisdom to your words and speak in a way that is pleasing to God and edifying to others. Now, let's talk a little bit about the introduction for this week's lesson, which is taming the tongue. Be careful what you say. There's an old rhyme that says this, and many of you probably are familiar with it or you've heard it before. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. How many of you have ever heard that said before? Well, it is hard to imagine an expression that is less true. In reality, saints, words can be far more devastating than our actions. And in fact, they continue to injure long after physical pain goes away. And it's no surprise then that Scripture offers many clear warnings for us as followers of Christ to guard our speech. And in today's study, we're going to explore the tremendous power of our words to bring either blessing or harm to others. And as you study with us today, I want you to think of important ways that you can apply practical teaching from the book of James. Praise the Lord. Someone says, be careful what you say. This is a part of our lesson today about taming the tongue. Now, if you're going to be studying with us, we're studying the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. You have that to review as you listen to the lesson and following the broadcast. So let's go ahead now and take a look at our first point of outline, which is dealing with control your speech. And James began in chapter 3 of James with a warning to teachers, And we see in James 3, verse 1, where it reads this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." He goes on in verses 2 to 5 that talks about the need to control our tongue. Verse 2, he says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal's body." Verse 4, "Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants the ship to go. Likewise," he concludes in verse 5, "likewise the tongue is a very small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." Here we see in this first section of our lesson about taming our tongue is that we need to learn how to control our speech. So James gave a warning to those who sought to be teachers, and he spoke to the fact that if you're going to be an effective teacher, you must be able to control your tongue. And so James 1 specifically mentions teachers. And this is so very relevant for us today, saints, because many people are looking, here it is Sunday here in the United States, where most people who are Christian attend worship service, preaching services, and things of the such. And so today they've been exposed to someone preaching and or teaching. And I pray that these words that are going forth from the wisdom of James will be applied to all congregations who are meeting around the world today. So James specifically mentions teachers, but I want you to know that the potential dangers of the tongue apply to both spiritual teachers as well as to the followers that are under their leadership. You see, teachers and others who lead the church have a great responsibility for those who put their teachings into practice. A lot of times we hear people say, "You must practice what you preach." This is basically what James is warning those who are spiritual leaders and teachers of his time, and it is definitely relevant for our lives today as well. He says this because, saints, words can lead people to Christ or they can push people away from Christ. So as a result, teachers are held accountable before God for properly instructing their flock. And this is why James warned the teachers of his time. Now, let's also look at another part of this warning that James gave to the early church. He says that apart from the impact of teachers who teach falsely and bring judgment upon themselves, he used three illustrations to describe the power of tongue in leading astray those who do not respect its ability to corrupt. We see in verses 2 through 5. He says, "While the tongue is a relatively tiny part of the body, it can inflame tremendous passions. And despite its seeming insignificance, when compared to more prominent aspects of the body, the tongue can result in consequences that people most certainly will later regret." So, saints, our word from this scripture today is that if we do not find the power to control our speech within ourselves, then we know we have to look to a source that's greater than ourselves. And it is only the Holy Spirit, somebody said the Holy Spirit, it is only the Holy Spirit who is able to keep us from the destructive potential that can come from unwise words. I know some of you listening right now saying, but I'm a holy person, I'm a man, a woman of God, I'm a faithful disciple, but even you have the potential to speak deadly words to others. So we all, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've been following Christ, we all must pray for the Holy Spirit's continual guidance and help in the area of controlling our speech. So thanks to God when we realize that our words can greatly affect our life. Not only affect our life, but our words can affect the lives of others. And when we realize the great consequences that result and the problems that can result because of ill-spoken or misspoken words, we want to reduce every possibility of these things being true in our lives. Let me ask you a question, saints of God. I think all of us can relate to either persons that have been hurt by words or have spoken the word that we let them regret it. I want to ask you, do you know people who are still bound in unforgiveness and bitterness that began with someone's untimely words that were spoken to them? Or do you know people who are experiencing broken relationships as a result of something that was inappropriately spoken? Perhaps you are one of these situations. Maybe you're in one of these situations. Or in either case, you know the potential pain caused by the tongue. And the simple matter of practicing discipline in what we say is one of the keys to healthy relationships. Someone said to me, be careful what you say. Praise the Lord. And so let me ask you a question before we move on to our second point of outline. What are some biblical examples of negative consequences of not using wisdom in speech? Well, saints, we know that our tongue has the power to alter our lives. While learning to control our words may be difficult, the Spirit can and will help us. Among the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians, for instance, is self-control, Galatians 5:23. And one reason our words are so powerful in their potential for damage when they are misused. See, once words are carelessly spoken, saints, the damage often cannot be undone. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us to control the power of our tongue. And there are many countless examples throughout the scripture of the negative consequences of not using wisdom in our speech. So let's look at our second point of outline. Besides James warning to the early church and to the teachers in particular that we need to control our speech and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control our tongue, for our tongue controls our direction in life. Just as a ship rudder does, just as a bit in the mouth of horses turns the whole body, our tongue has the power and potential to turn our lives in ways that we do not always want to go. And it also has the power to push people in directions where they should not go. So if you're suffering with unforgiveness today, or you perpetrated this hurt upon someone else, seek the forgiveness of God and offer the forgiveness of God so that you can be set free today. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We're talking about practical Christianity from the book of James today, saints. Specifically, we're talking about taming the tongue. So in addition to controlling our speech, the second point that James made to the early church and that I want to make to you today is the destructive nature of the tongue. The destructive nature of the tongue. Because I believe if we know better, saints, that we will do better. We know that we can speak life. We have power of words. God spoke things into existence, and we're created in God's image. And so we likewise have the power to speak things into existence, whether that's life or death. I pray today in the name of Jesus that each and every one of us will learn to submit our tongue to God and allow life to come forth from our mouth and not death. So here James speaks in, again, James chapter 3. Let's look at verses 6 through 12. We're looking at James chapter 3, verse 6, and it reads as such. It says, the tongue also is a fire, a whirl of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, verse 7 says, birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison, James says. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and bitter or salt water flow from the same stream? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? And the obvious answer is no, and neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Saints, hear James, in addition to warning people to control the tongue, and he's speaking now of the destructive nature of the tongue. We see, as James used these analogies again, these things that are very practical to the hearers of his time and are also very practical to those of you who are hearing my voice today. We all realize, and if you haven't, you will soon, realize that words not only can be tremendously destructive to the hearer, but they also have the potential to corrupt the person speaking the words. In James 3, verses 6 to 8, it states that the tongue, if unchecked, will corrupt the whole person. Now, he went on to say that while humans have been able to tame all kinds of animals of the field, birds of the air, and sea creatures, they have never been able to prevent the destructive potential of the tongue and the words that it speaks. So as James described to the early church, I want to describe to you today that the tongue is an extremely potent tool in the hands of Satan. It threatens to corrupt our personalities and pollute our souls. We know that a harsh word spoken in haste can spark anger, which leads to grudges that in turn can embitter one's soul for a very long time. And there are few potential forces in our lives, children of God, that carry such power to harm our relationships and sabotage our walk with God than the power of our tongue. James went on to say in verses 9 through 12, where he observed another matter of concern regarding the tongue. It seems that some among his audience may have been using their words to do two contradictory things. They were using their tongues to praise God, which is the highest use of the believer's praise. They used the same tongue to speak evil of others, even though they are made in God's image likewise. So here we see James demonstrated the absurd nature of this behavior by using natural or practical examples known by those who live in the region of Judea. Again, he spoke of springs of water, for instance. He said springs of water were either drinkable or undrinkable. The same spring could not be both. So likewise, he says, if a person went to a fig tree, they would expect the tree would deliver figs, not olives or grapes. You see, saints, as we look at this lesson and word from James today, we realize it would be laughable to expect otherwise. And it is also absurd to think that we can be pleasing to God while we deliver words to others that do not reflect his love and his character. Saints of God, listen to me. We must be willing to accept a sobering reality. Praising God but cursing those made in his image is offensive to him. And if we profess to love him, we must also extend love to those whom he has created. Other words, or otherwise, our worship is hypocritical if it is followed by us using our tongues to curse others. Oh, today we're talking about taming the tongue. Be careful what you say. So we've talked about in our first point about controlling the tongue, and now we're talking about the destructive nature of the tongue from the book of James. So as we continue with our lesson and go to our third outline, let me ask you a question to think about for a moment. In what ways might someone try to justify speaking evil of another person, and why this is inappropriate for Christians? You may want to get a hold of one of my books called Hear No Evil, See No Evil, and Speak No Evil, How to Guard Against an Evil Report. I think it may bless you as well. Now, our third and final point of outline, in addition to controlling our tongue and the destructive nature of the tongue, we need to take the antidote to cure this disease of an untamed tongue, and that is to speak and live wisely. Here in James again, let's continue James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Let's read it quickly. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unscriptural, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom of God, somebody said, but the wisdom of God, but the wisdom that comes from heaven of God is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And then verse 18 concludes, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Glory to God. Somebody give God a praise right there. So in other words, saints, we need to realize in order to speak and live wisely, we need to know that there are two kinds of wisdom. And James identified those kinds of wisdom. He told us that as Christians, as followers of Christ who are wise and understanding, then we will demonstrate our wisdom in how we live, not in what we say. See, true wisdom can be identified by its ability to lead the one pursuing it toward eternal life or eternal damnation. And for those who are wise, wisdom is reflected in the willingness to practice humility, some of the humility, which in turn will lead to strong relationships with others. And in all of this, the humble believer can enjoy a steady walk with the Lord, because humility allows us to enjoy a unique sense of peace with the world around us. Humble people are often especially respected by the people around them, and the very presence of a humble spirit produces an environment of understanding. Glory to God. But just as this is true, saints, the opposite is also true. Of a proud and arrogant person, we know that pride has a strong potential to fracture relationships. So James emphasized the bitterness, the jealousy, the selfish ambition that are produced by the arrogant heart. And we know that earthly wisdom enables these kinds of selfish pursuits to exist. But we want to follow the path of wisdom, saints. We want to speak and live wisely so that we can live our lives that are pleasing to God. So a truly wise person seeks to live in harmony with others. That person can do so because his or her heart is capable of producing and preserving peace. Wise individuals give strong evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. They are merciful and compassionate to those around them. They also don't cling to prejudices, which bring strife. They're not arrogant or self-centered. The wise sow in peace, and they reap a great harvest of righteousness. I want you to take a moment to examine your life. Do you bring peace and harmony? Do they follow you? Or are you consumed by arguments and relationship problems? Saints, I want you to know in conclusion that your words hold great potential. With them, you can encourage friends, you can bless enemies, and exalt the Lord. Yet, your words also have the ability to fracture relationships and dishonor our Savior. Never underestimate the good or evil that can come through something as simple as your speech. So go ahead now, I pray, take a moment today and examine how you use words. Is there an instance in which you tend to tear down rather than build up? Do you honor God? Take an honest inventory of yourselves. Seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Commit yourself anew to speaking good regarding the lives of others, even when they have harmed you, or when such words are not necessarily in your own best interest. And above all, saints, ask God to help you to ensure that your speech is always honorable before Him. Taming the tongue. Let us all be careful
Thank you.